yesterday, Cheryl and I got, we don't get to do this very often. We got to slip off and went to a movie yesterday and saw the new movie Parkland, which is about the assassination of President Kennedy. And good movie, just very historical movie. And, God speaks to us in different ways and at different times. And God really was speaking to me through that, through a moment in that movie. The president had been shot, and they found themselves, many people found themselves in the ER trying to revive him and save him, and doctors and nurses, and I mean, it was just a mess in there, Secret Service and local police and all kinds of things, and it was just this chaotic scene. And when they realized that the president was not going to make it, they called in a priest, and the priest was there, and it just, you know, at that moment, I just really felt thankful for the privilege of being a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I thought of each of you, and I thought, you know, unfortunately, hopefully we have good times together, and we laugh, and we cut up, and we worship together, and as Billy said, we pray together, and we do all these things. But unfortunately, many times when you call on me are tough times. And I consider that a privilege and an honor. I do not see that as a nuisance to be called, as Jim was saying, at 3 o'clock in the morning. I do not see that as a nuisance. And I also want to point out one other thing, and I know Jim was speaking to me, but you have a staff that feels the same way. And so in a couple of weeks when we have that luncheon, it's not pastor appreciation. I hope that it will be staff appreciation, because you have a wonderful staff, and each one of them has that same heart for God and that same heart for you that I was just talking about. And it's just an honor. It's just an honor to be about the business of Jesus Christ, and it's an honor to be doing it here with each of you. So I just wanted to say that. If you'd turn with me to Acts chapter 8, and all that kind of ties into what we're going to share today. Acts chapter 8. Now, if you have not spent much time in the book of Acts, I encourage you to do that. What an exciting book of God's Word that is. Because, Jesus had come and he had lived his sinless life and he had died for our sake and he had been resurrected, and he had spent his time with the disciples in his resurrected form, and he had ascended back to the Father, and he had sent the Holy Spirit. he had sent the Holy Spirit, and in the church, when the Holy Spirit came at Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, we talked a little about that last week, the church began to just explode, and it was a very, very exciting time. In fact, the very moment that the Holy Spirit came, 3,000 people accepted Christ right then through that one encounter, that one service, if you will. And the first several chapters of Acts, really all the way through Acts, you begin to see the disciples and other believers who had come to know Christ through their words and through the sharing of the gospel. You began to see the church just exploding and people being healed and people coming to Christ and being baptized and on and on and on. And we pick it up here with Philip, one of the disciples, in Acts chapter 8. I want to pick it up in verse 26. This is probably a passage not many of you are that familiar with. It's kind of a humorous passage in a way, but it's also a very rich passage. So in verse 26, Acts chapter 8. Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Go south to the road, the desert road, that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza." You heard that? You heard Gaza Strip? Even in our world today. So he started out, and on his way he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of all the treasury of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians. This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and on his way home was sitting in his chariot reading the book of Isaiah the prophet. The Spirit told Philip, "Go to that chariot and stay near it." Now, first of all, just kind of sense there that the Spirit of God, Philip is sensitive to the Spirit of God. He's listening. What would you have me do? Where would you have me go? Philip is in that mode. Go to that chariot and stay near it, the Spirit told Philip. Then Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. Do you understand what you are reading? Philip asked. How can I, he said, unless someone explains it to me. Hello. Hello. Is this thing on? Do you understand what you are reading? How can I unless someone explains it to me? Almost sounds like a commission of some sort to us. So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. The eunuch was reading this passage of Scripture out of Isaiah. He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before the shearer is silent, so he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation, he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth. The eunuch asked Philip, tell me, please, who is the prophet talking about, himself or someone else? Who's he talking about? Who's the prophet talking about? Tell me, please, who is he talking about? Then Philip began with that very passage of Scripture. You know, Philip's waiting for the prompting of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's already involved in this man's life. He's already stirring him to ask these questions. And Philip is looking for the opening. And he says, and he started right where he was. That's the Scripture he was reading. Let's start there. Let's talk. As they traveled along the road, they came to some water. And the eunuch said, look, here is water. Why shouldn't I be baptized? And he gave orders to stop the chariot. Then both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. Let's pray. Come, Holy Spirit, that same Holy Spirit that spoke to Philip that day. Come. Right now, come in this place. Speak in power and authority. Glorify yourself and change us. In Jesus' name, amen. The title of the sermon today is Good News. Good News. I want to share some good news with you this morning. I've kind of just made a few notations, a few things. Good news. Did you know that it has rained in Abilene, Texas the last 3 weekends? Did anybody notice that? I mean, it was coming down in sheets at our house yesterday, not for very long, but it was coming down. It's rained 3 weekends in a row. And did you know the interest rates are still at an all-time low, that you can finance a home for 4.5% right now? Did you know that? Isn't that good news? Amen. And one of my favorite restaurants in town, one of my favorite burgers is a place called Holy Cow. Anybody ever been to Holy Cow? It's even got a spiritual name to it. So I feel, you know, it's got to do something good to my body when I eat at Holy Cow. They had one out on Judge Ely, and I hardly ever went, even though I loved it, because it was so far out there, and I just don't make it that way very often. They've put one in on South 14th. Amen. And they should pay me for this advertisement right now. But I love Holy Cow. That's good news, isn't it? And did you know, I found out this weekend that now the United States of America, we are now the number one oil and gas producer in the world because of a little procedure called fracking. We are now, and what I was seeing and on the news and was reading, that we stand to perhaps be energy independent within the next 5-6 years, where we don't have to import oil from anybody. Hello. That's good news. Is that what Scripture is telling us? To share that kind of good news? Is that what we've been called to do? Is that the good news that we have? I think it's something more, church. We have good news, but we kind of, you know, we all the time we kind of simplify things and kind of dumb down words like love. You know, I love, you know, spaghetti or whatever it is that, you know, we kind of soften the real meaning of these words. But this phrase, good news, when the angels announced to the shepherds that Christ had been born, what did they say? I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. Today in the city of David is born to you a Savior, and He is Christ the Lord. That's good news. That I hate to say it because I love Holy Cow, but that blows Holy Cow being on South 14th away. I bring you good news of great joy. Jesus in the synagogue as He launched His ministry said, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me because He has anointed me to preach good news." Jesus had good news. A lot better news than that we're the number one oil producer in the world. Jesus, the followers, the disciples of John the Baptist, when John the Baptist was in prison, they John the Baptist was wondering, "Are you the one?" And so he sent his disciples to ask Jesus, "Are you the one?" And here's what Jesus said to them. "Go back and report to John what you have seen and what you have heard. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, those who have leprosy are cured, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the good news is preached to the poor." Jesus had good news. In fact, He was good news. And all through Acts, we see that it says over and over and over, just if you've got any kind of software, concordance software or whatever, just look for the phrase "good news" in the book of Acts. See, that's what they were doing. The church was exploding and they were spreading the good news. In Acts chapter 5, it says, "Day after day in the temple courts and from house to house." So day after day in the temple courts and from house to house, they, the disciples, never stopped teaching and proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ. It says, day after day. They did it every day. They didn't wait, "Oh, it's Sunday. I guess we ought to probably go tell some folks about Jesus." No, day after day, in the synagogue when they were worshiping, and from house to house, they couldn't contain themselves. They had good news to share with people. Well, what is the good news that we have, church? And I think I preached on this a couple of months ago. Probably the most well-known passage of Scripture is John 3:16. "For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son. So whoever believes in Him will not perish but have eternal life." I mean, if you don't know anything else, you know that, and that's good news. And we have been entrusted with this message of good news. And I to put it more in terms that we can relate to, perhaps, so many times we kind of clean up our Christian acts like, "Are you a Christian?" "Yeah, I'm a Christian." You know? Okay. What are we doing with that? What are we doing with this good news? And it would be as if, and I've used this example before, but if we had a little test tube, and inside this test tube is the cure for cancer, all cancer, any kind of cancer. All you got to do is we have the power to duplicate this. And all you got to do is just put a little dab on the tip of your finger and we can cure cancer. And we put that in our pocket and we walk around day by day and don't tell anybody what's in our pocket. That's the equivalent of not sharing the good news. Only it's not even the full extent of it. I mean, it's more than that. It's bigger than that. But I think that we can maybe wrap our minds around I'm just going to say it, the selfishness of that act to keep the cure for cancer in our pocket. How selfish would that be and not share it with anybody? Church, are you listening? We have good news. We have good news. Who have we told lately? And we're going to talk about how to do that in a minute. And I think what scares us off is we think that we're supposed to, stand on a street corner and be weird and have a sign or something, except Jesus. Remember the guy with the rainbow wig? I dressed up as that guy, the rainbow wig, John 3:16, had the sign, John 3:16, remember that? I dressed up as that guy a couple of years ago at our fall festival, and everybody from 40 down was going, "What are you, man? Who is that?" But all the old people like me went, "Oh, you're that dude you used to go to the ball games. That crazy guy." We have in our mind that to share Jesus, we're supposed to put on a rainbow-colored wig and have a sign and embarrass ourselves. Is that what you think the disciples did? No, we have good news. First of all, how good news benefits us. How good news benefits us. First thing is, good news, the good news of Jesus Christ makes us whole. We get so caught up with rules, you know, we have these theological debates in our culture and even in our churches and between Christians and all. It's like, oh, that's a sin. No, that's not a sin. Well, this is a sin. Well, you got to do it this way and all. We get into all of this junk, and it's like, you know, I believe God's heart for us, and I believe He's put that heart in us. Is to see that people are made whole. Broken people are made whole. And our brokenness manifests itself in a lot of different ways, doesn't it? Each one of us, if we're honest, we are a mess without Christ. We're just a mess. And our brokenness can manifest itself in many different ways. And Jesus said He's come to heal the brokenhearted. That's good news. Good news makes us whole. Second thing, good news gives us hope. Good news gives us hope. And you've heard me tell this story before, probably, if you've been here for very long, but when my brother was killed 13 years ago now, I had a nurse that was at the burn center that said, you know, your family has blessed us. And I'm just like, man, I just felt like we were a mess because of what had unfolded that day. And I just felt like, man, what, how? And she said, because I deal with death every day in this burn unit. And she said, you can tell people who have Christ and you can tell people who don't have Christ. And there's either peace or there's panic. There's peace or there's panic. And you can guess which one has the peace, the ones that have Christ. The good news of Jesus Christ makes us whole and it gives us hope. No matter what we face, no matter what's coming at us, no matter what diagnosis we get from the doctor, no matter what our spouse says to us, no matter what our relationship is with our friends or our family or anyone else, no matter if we're good looking or not good looking, I mean, not everybody can be as good looking as me. I'm just saying. What are you laughing at over there, Payne? I mean, whether we, you know, just whatever our circumstances, the good news of Jesus Christ gives us hope. Do we have hope? Yes. And the third thing, the good news of Jesus Christ gives you a future. Gives you a future. And eternal life, you've heard me say this before, eternal life doesn't start when you die. Eternal life starts right now. If you're in Christ, the wholeness of being in Christ and the future that Christ has provided for us starts now. He gives you peace. The fruit of the Spirit, and we talked about this small group that Cheryl and I are leading, the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Galatians 5:22, memorize them. Because that just, they should roll off of your lips. That is the fruit of God's Spirit in us. He gives us hope and a future. In Jeremiah 29:11, the Lord says this, "For I know the plans I have for you." We've seen one of our banners over here behind the piano. "For I know the plans," it's a different version, but my version just goes like this. "I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future." You think Jesus maybe provides that? That's good news, isn't it, church? Did you know that there's some people in Abilene, Texas, perhaps even some people in our sanctuary this morning, that don't have good news, that are not aware that they are precious in the sight of God? Did you? I guarantee you there's thousands of them right here in our community. Have no clue. No one's ever told them that Jesus loves them, that Jesus loved them. I spoke of this last week, but went and saw a man in hospice this past week, and dying of cancer on his last few days on this earth. And I didn't know this. He was a father of one of our congregants, and I didn't know him, and I didn't know where he was with the Lord. And the first thing, he just greeted me with his big, huge smile. I told him who I was, and I said, "Can I pray for you?" And he said, "Oh, absolutely." And I said, before I started praying, I said, "Do you know how much God loves you?" And he said, "Oh, absolutely. I know." With a big, broad smile. And this man will soon be passing from this life to the next. You think perhaps he has hope in a future? Man, that's good news. And the fourth thing about good news is it should be shared. It should be shared. And here, we talked about this in our small group Wednesday night. If y'all were in that, sorry, this is a repeat. But, how do you share the good news? And it's not, you don't have to be weird. In fact, I encourage you not to be weird. Although, I never got out of it by my weirdnesses. Anyway. Tell your story. Share the good news. Tell your story. If somebody says in God's word, be prepared to tell people the reason for the hope that you have. Be prepared to tell somebody. If somebody, you know somebody's going through a hard time, there's illness or there's relational problems or they're just, man, there's financial problems and on, all these different things, and you have a relationship. God puts you in different scenarios with different people, different relationships. You can reach people that I never could. Because you have their ear. Not literally, but you have their ear. They are your friend. They are your coworker. There's someone that will listen to you. Number one, let them live the type of life of integrity where you're somebody they want to listen to. That's number one about having an authentic story. Let be someone that they go, you know, I think I'll ask Jeff. Jeff seems to, seems to have joy. I think I'll ask him. Tell your story. And that story, the only hope that your story has is the peace that includes Christ. Where Christ came into your life and changed things. That's the piece of the story that's significant. And you've heard my story before, but I'm going to give you an example of telling your story. And here's kind of a reader's digest. You can do it. Who's got a watch with a second hand? Ed Bunger. All right, Ed, if I can trust anybody to call me out on the carpet, it's Ed Bunger. Ed, when I start, you time me and see if I can do this in 2 minutes. Oh my gosh, he's got to get his glasses on. Is there anyone younger that would like to time me? All right, Ed, I'll let you do it. Are you ready? Are you zeroed in? All right, here's my story. I was raised in the church, but to me, Christianity, I just missed it, and I thought that it was about being good. And I lived that way for 30 years, and really kind of my life was becoming a place where it could very easily spiral out of control and I could lose everything, including my wife and my precious family. And suddenly God spoke to my heart and showed me that it's not about being good, Jeff. It's about I love you. And I hung on a cross for you. And that changed everything. Just that realization that I was precious in the sight of God. I was so precious that he would hang on a cross for me. It changed the man that I was. He showed me mercy when I deserved justice. And it changed everything. And I became a different man. I became a different husband. And I became a different daddy. And I became a different coworker. And my life has never been the same. And he can do the same thing for you. Time. 1 minute and 12 seconds. I just shared the good news. That's my story. That's God's story in me. It took a minute and 12 seconds, if you can believe Ed, which is we're we're still, that's up for debate, Ed. We have been entrusted with the good news. I'm going to do something bold and crazy and out of control crazy this morning. I'm going to give at least one of you an opportunity this morning, unplanned. I hadn't talked to anybody, to come right here and share within 2 minutes. You get 2 minutes. If it goes after 2 minutes, raise your hand, Ed, and I'm going to get a big hook. I want to boldly, I know the Spirit of God is stirring some of you, and you're going, no! But I know the Spirit of God is stirring some of your hearts, and I want to ask somebody that's feeling that to come up and share their story in 2 minutes or less.
Share because my heart's just beating real crazy. I grew up in a single parent home, and I went, in Los Angeles, and I had the opportunity. My mom was Catholic, and went to church with her every once in a while. It was in Latin, so I didn't get anything out of it. And but when I was 5 years old, I got invited to a Good News Club. I started going to that Good News Club. I went there until I was 13. It was there that these two ladies taught about Jesus, and they said that they told the verse, God gave us the power to become His children, and that He wanted to be our Heavenly Father. I needed a father. And I knelt, asked God to become my father when I was 5. And He's been my father ever since. He has brought people into my life that have guided me. And He'll do the same for you.
Amen. Because she obeyed the rules. One more. If that had been a 20-minute deal, we'd have been doing communion right now. I feel like the Lord's got somebody else. Thank you, Grace. Ed? Oh, you need some help finding your way up here? Hang on just a second. Bring Ed that wireless so we can hear him. Ed just had knee surgery this past week, so.
Hello?
I should never pick on a man who just had knee surgery.
Especially if I loved your daddy like I did. I was in Vietnam, and I had come to the Baptist system. I was raised in South Texas. But until I had seen the nights, the long nights, that I really didn't realize that God was with me every day. Because at night, the terror is with you, and He would touch my shoulder or my hand, and I could make it through the night. So I know from that day forth that He's always been with me.
Amen. Amen. Anyone else feeling stirred this morning to share? Come on, Brian. My newest son-in-law.
When I was 13, my parents started into a separation. It took 8 years. 8 years of my life that was just really harsh. And I turned to a lot of bad things in high school. And I didn't know Christ. I went to Catholic schools. I went to Christian schools. I just didn't know who He was. When I was 18, I showed up at Wiley Methodist, and I met a family and a girl who still's with me. And they helped me find Christ. And this church helped me find Christ. And I love him every day. And it's just been the best time of my life since then. And, you know, my parents are better now. And I think they've seen how much I've changed. And I'm not mad at them anymore. And I'm very happy just to know that I have a Heavenly Father that looks over me like that. And a family that loves me here. And a church like this. So God just changes everything. So very thankful for that.
Amen. That is just wrong, man. Do that to me right before communion. We have good news, church. When Christ enters in, things change. Things change. And we have a story to tell. And I know many of you, you couldn't come up here in front of a bunch of people, but you can, maybe you can talk one-on-one with that coworker, that family member, or whoever that you know. I know there's people, names that the Lord is placing on your heart right now that need to know what Jesus has done for you and what he can do for them. And this meal, this this meal is not just a piece of the service that we have to work our way through. This is a costly meal. And this is why we can be made whole, and this is why we have a future, and this is why no matter what we face, we can overcome it. God's Word says that we are overcomers. It's because of what our Lord has accomplished on our behalf. On the night that he was betrayed, it wasn't a good night. It wasn't a great night where everything was going perfectly. It was a night that his best friends in the whole world were betraying him and denying that they knew him and scattering. And that's what awaited the disciples. And on that night, before Jesus went to a cross, he took the bread and he broke it and he said, "This is my body, broken for you." And I would add to that, his brokenness gives us wholeness. And then he took the cup and he blessed it and he said, "This is the cup of the new covenant established in my blood. As often as you drink it, remember me." Remember what the sacrifice that he would make. Father, if you pray with me, Father, I just pray a blessing on these elements, this bread and this cup. I pray that you would make them be for us the body and blood of Jesus, that we would indeed remember Jesus as we partake today, and we would remember the sacrifice and the costliness of this meal. In Jesus' name, amen. The invitation comes from Christ our Lord. It's not my invitation. It's not our church's invitation. The invitation to this table is from Christ our Lord. And he said to come and remember him when we partake. And so the invitation is, if you love Jesus and you come to this table with a humble and repentant heart, then you are welcome. You do not have to be a member of this church. You do not have to be a member of any church. If you've accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior and you come in repentance, you are welcome at this table. So if our praise team and our sound team and our servers would come forward, please. Ask everyone if you would just take a moment, bow your heads, offer up your own personal prayer of confession. before a holy God. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. Christ our Lord has invited us to this table. There are two stations here and two stations on the end that you will be given a piece of bread and you dip it into the juice and partake in that manner. The center station here has the individual cups. If you'd like to be served in that manner, you can come to the center. The altar rail is open. If you would like to pray or would like for me to pray for you, I'll be available.
Gracious Lord, no tender voice like thine can peace afford. I need thee, oh I need thee, every hour I need thee, oh bless me now my Savior. I come to thee. most holy one. Oh, make me thine indeed, thou blessed son.
Asked Philip, how do I know? How do I understand unless someone tells me? And it says that Philip began with that very scripture and began to tell him the good news about Jesus. Go and tell someone. Be blessed. We are dismissed.
Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. My righteousness, oh God.